Hi FM, 101.9 megahertz of life.
And as promised, we need to understand, well, at least from one perspective, what on earth is going on in South Africa with Cyril Ramaphosa, that absolutely bizarre article that he says he penned. Whether he did or didn't is irrelevant. He put his name to it. This doubling down, this game of brinkmanship that he's playing with the United States. Well, Joel Pollack joins us this morning. And as I mentioned, and I gave you his background, born in South Africa, he understands South African politics very, very well. He is, of course, the senior editor at Breitbart News. Joel, a very, very good morning to you. Thank you for joining us. How are you?
Or good evening here in Los Angeles. It's still midway through the night here.
Well, thank you for staying up at least to chat to us. Joel,
sure.
You've been very, very active, very vocal around the South African relationship and the game that South Africa is playing with regard to the United States and other other Western democracies. Obviously, you partly because you understand South Africa very, very well, but give us your perspective. Why do you think Cyril Ramaphosa is playing this game of brinkmanship with South Africa's future?
Well, it could be for any number of reasons. I'm told that the article he wrote that came out about the Palestinians and so forth, which never once mentioned Hamas or terror or anything like that, was prepared beforehand, and that it came out because it was scheduled to be published. I don't know that that excuses it, because, of course, they could have withdrawn it, but then you have all kinds of politics that play into it. But if you take a look at the big picture, South Africa has basically cast its lot with these terrorists and the regimes that support them. And you have to ask why. Because in the heyday of Rainbow Nation South Africa, when Nelson Mandela was the president, there was an idea that South Africa could play a positive peacemaking role, that it could export some of the lessons of compromise and reconciliation from the South African transition to democracy, and that these would be applicable whether in Northern Ireland or in the Middle East. And that has shifted over time to a South Africa that wants to be on the side of the axis of resistance, as the Iranians call it, the people who are trying to undermine American leadership and to destroy Israel and to suppress Western Europe. And that's where South Africa sees itself. And to get there, you have to misread the history of the South Africa transition as if it were a kind of military victory by the ANC, where it crushed all before it and basically decided in its magnanimity to tolerate the presence of other people in the country, when actually it was a hard-won compromise where both sides had to give up. The apartheid regime, of course, gave up a lot more, and that's partly because it was immoral, but partly because Cyril Ramaphosa is a pretty good negotiator. But the lessons of that reconciliation have been lost. And really, the reason South Africa matters to the world is because of the reconciliation, not because of the so-called axis of resistance. You know, if you want countries that stand at the margins and shout about Palestinians and shout about anti-colonialism, you know, there's Cuba for that.
Absolutely.
You know, left-wing Colombia for that. But if you want to be in those, in that company and be isolated from the West and just slide into economic ruin, I mean, that's a choice South Africa can make. But I do think there's a split in the ANC, and that there are more pragmatic elements that are asking themselves, how can we make a compromise that keeps trade relations strong with the United States and moves us toward economic growth? And those who say, we're happy to burn down our country as long as we support the Palestinians, come hell or high water.
Right. And of course, South Africa is also a useful idiot, because if Cuba or Iran had taken South Africa to the International Court of Justice, it wouldn't have had held the same amount of weight as South Africa, because it's a democratic nation. So, of course, that makes them the perfect target for cynical use in this way. The fact that they Sorry, carry on, Joel.
I don't know that South Africa still has that kind of moral currency. I mean, When you look at the presiding judge now of the ICJ, Judge Sebutinde from Uganda, she's also a judge from the African continent, and she's probably the most pro-Israel judge on the court, perhaps even more pro-Israel than the judge from the United States. The rest of Africa, especially Christian Africa, does not see the Middle East the way the ANC does. And in fact, many South Africans don't see the Middle East the way the ANC does, not just Jewish South Africans and white South Africans and so forth. But essentially, anywhere you go in Christian Africa, there's strong sympathy for the Israelis. And even in parts of Muslim Africa, there's at least a kind of more even-handed approach. Of course, there are parts of Africa that are dominated by the other point of view. But South Africa is increasingly devaluing its moral currency, and not just by opposing Israel, but also by siding with China, by siding with Russia. You know, South Africa now has joined this group called the Hague Group, which exists to support these international bodies against Israel. But when it came to arresting the dictator of Sudan, who was credibly accused of crimes against humanity and war, South Africa decided to resist these very same international institutions. And likewise with Russia and Putin. I mean, South Africa decides when and where to obey international law. And that's why I think this latest move over the last 18 months against Israel just doesn't have the same moral weight it once might have. You might get some virulently anti-Israel governments like Ireland to sign up with you, but look at the rest of Western Europe. They're not on your side. Even the Canadians, who are governed by a left-wing prime minister, said that they don't agree with South Africa's case.
Right. In terms of South Africa and the United States, the direct relationship, Israel aside, even though, of course, Israel isn't a side because it plays an important part of the whole thing, the choice of South Africa's ambassador to the United States, also clearly deliberate attempt to, again, to show the U.S. That they don't value that relationship.
Well, I don't know. You know, I don't really have an opinion one way or the other about Ebrahim Rasool being the ambassador, because countries choose ambassadors for all kinds of reasons. I think that within ANC circles, Rasool is seen as something of a moderate, if you can believe that. He was sent perhaps to placate the concerns of what I think South Africa assumed would be a Democratic Senate and a Democratic White House. For the election results being what they were, I don't think it was particularly good choice. But, you know, every diplomat has to deal with a government that they're assigned to deal with. And so Rasool, I think, appeared to adjust his strategy somewhat. But he's still stuck, based on his public utterances. I mean, I don't have any kind of private contact with him, but he's still stuck on the idea that South Africa doesn't have to move off of its initial position very far, because the United States needs the rare earth minerals and the other deposits of precious metals that South Africa has. And that's just not the case. I mean, we're finding them everywhere, and there are other parts of the world that are less problematic for us to get them. And it's not going to work anymore. I mean, it's just South Africa needs to decide. And it's not just about the welfare of the United States. I mean, the policies that Trump is demanding are also policies that are good for South Africa. It would be better for South Africa if people didn't fear the expropriation of their property. It would be better for South Africa if people knew that no matter what your skin color, you could be treated the same. It would be better for South Africa if you stopped supporting terrorist causes on the world stage and started supporting economic growth and prosperity and democracy and security. So I think he's not really asking South Africa to do anything that's not in its interest. It's just that the ANC doesn't see it that way.
Absolutely. We are over time, but I just need to ask you one more question before we let you go. How does South Africa come back from this in terms of the relationship with the United States?
It's very simple. You have to come to the table with compromises. South Africa needs to suspend or amend the Expropriation Act. It needs to find a way for foreign investors to invest in South Africa without being subject to BEE, which is just a disaster for foreign investment. And it needs to drop the ICJ case and tell Hamas and the Palestinians that the time has come to suspend the armed struggle and to enter a process of serious negotiations about the future. If South Africa comes to the table with those compromises, I think you could see a world of difference.
And that is where we leave it. Joel Pollack, thank you for taking the time to speak to us. Go and have a good evening. It is, apologies that our news is slightly late, but in my view, it was well worth it. 7:04.